And we are live. Welcome to episode 20 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, Matt Skura, also known as at Matt Skura USN. And we got my co-host, Mr. Caleb at Caleb Connett USN. As you guys know, we are both a part of the Unwrapped Sports Network. So if you want to give us a follow, our usernames are up above our screens.
Go ahead. Tap in with me on Twitter at Caleb Connett 2. You feel me? Tap in with me on Instagram at 1 Caleb Connett. And those are where my social medias get active at. You feel me? Follow Unwrapped. You feel me? They're somewhere over here. Follow them. Follow my boy Skura Matt. You feel me? And follow the MCS Real Sports Podcast page. We might get that running. We might not. You might, but you know. Keep up.
It's a work in progress, but we will get there. This episode 20 is going to be a special one. Last episode we were basically discussing game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers in the second round, and we all know what happened. The LA Clippers blew a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. And the NBA playoffs have progressed to the NBA Finals, which we will discuss later on. But let's get into the NFL recap so far. We have so far gone through 3 weeks of the NFL, and there have been a lot of surprises, just to say the least. Especially a big one, as you can see up above me, my Green Bay Packers are 3-0 and have scored 35 plus points each week of the season. And then we got some disappointing teams like the Minnesota Vikings going 0-3. Saints off to a sluggish 1-2 start. Should they be concerned? We will find out and see. In fact, let's move on to let's go with the undefeated teams to winless teams. Let's start off with the most recent undefeated winner, the Kansas City Chiefs. They are 3-0. The defending Super Bowl champs got a big win against the Texans in week one, a close win in overtime against the Chargers in week two, and they stomped the Ravens on Monday night in Baltimore. Caleb, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you surprised that they are 3-0?
No, I'm not. Let me tell you why. They're the champs. They've been looking like a really good team since Mahomes took over. I believe he was the 10th pick for sure. I believe he maybe played like 6 games that year, right?
His rookie year, he only played one. He played the week 17 game.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he only played one game, but that game is when he looked. I mean, he looked great, right? Everybody knew, like, okay, this guy looks fucking amazing. So, you know, after that happened, that second year that they after that year, did they end up losing to the Patriots with Mahomes before they got to the Super Bowl?
Yes, and Pat Mahomes' first year of being a starter, they wound up losing to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, so they lose that game, but that year period, they looked like a really, really good team and a team that needed that experience to soon face that experience again and get over the hump. So, I mean, at that point, you can compare them similar to the Denver Nuggets in basketball. We'll get to that a little later, but just think about those two teams. This next year, they win the Super Bowl. They look great chemistry-wise. They look hungry. And if you just sit back and watch them, they just trust each other. Like, everybody on the team trusts each other. You could tell by the way they play. Like, Mahomes' face, like, Mahomes has the same receivers. He's building his relationship with that receiving core. They're very young. The only guy in that receiving core that's old is Travis Kelce. So, they're a very young receiving core. And, you know, you can obviously tell that they're going to be dominant for a long time because this is just the beginning. Like, I could see him on the field. He's like, hey, this, come on. Unless the receivers make that adjustment and they continue to do that. Oh my God, it's automatic. It's automatic. Mecole Hardman's gonna have a solid year. You know, he's a spurt on player. But you know, he's learning. Sammy Watkins, he's learning. Tyreek Hill, look at the little shit that Tyreek Hill did last night. Like, he had one route. He seen two players right there. He would just stop at the gap. Hey, boom. Just throw it to the gap right there. He's not continuing to run. Like, that team has pure chemistry. And, I mean, the offense is just so innovative. They look like the best team in football by a landslide.
Yeah, they definitely do. I agree with you as well. I mean, I'm not surprised with how dominant they are. I mean, they're the defending champs, and you know, this was expected of them. A lot of people expected the Chiefs to repeat. A lot of people thought, hey, you know, they could very well potentially run it back, because they're pretty much bringing the same team. It's pretty much almost the same exact starters as last year. You know, besides Damian Williams and company, it's overall a pretty good roster. You know, I actually had them going 2-3-0. I mean, I was just surprised on how they were able to shut down Lamar Jackson like that. Like, the way how the Chiefs defense just shut down Lamar in the first half was impressive. Like, I was surprised with how they were able just to stop him like that.
Yeah, and I watched that game, and I think I've always thought, like, you know, the Ravens, they're doing their thing. They obviously they're picking up guys on the defensive end that's making them a better defense. They're picking up guys on the line that makes them a better line. But I think ultimately for them to get over the top, they need another receiver. They need another receiver. I'm sorry, Willie Snead is good, but you need a good secondary option. You know what I'm saying? They need another receiver. And that's truly what I think. Marquise Brown, he's taking that next step into being a star. But he, no matter if he gets there, he needs somebody else good. You know what I'm saying? So if they can get another receiver, that's what they need. 97 pass yards, not going to do it. And I mean, don't forget, Lamar damn near ran for 100. I want to kind of being biased and giving them too much, but he ran for 85 yards, and they couldn't keep Lamar too contained. So, mm-hmm. 97 pass yards isn't gonna get it done. But if Lamar can make some of those throws like he can, and he can just, you know, throw for maybe 170 to 200 pass yards and run for 100, you're in for a rough night still.
Yeah, definitely. The Ravens, I feel like, are a key receiver away from being able to compete with Kansas City. I just think this game shows how much better Kansas City is compared to Baltimore at the moment. You know, maybe Baltimore gets aggressive at the trade deadline, but as of right now, where we stand, Kansas City is overall the better team. Let's move on to some other NFL teams that are 3-0. I'm going to go to the AFC East, and the Buffalo Bills are 3-0. They are right now first place in the AFC East. The one team behind them is the Patriots at 2-1. But I'll go with the undefeated Buffalo Bills. How impressed are you about the Buffalo Bills? And what a dramatic game they had this Sunday. They were up 28-3. The Rams came back and took the lead, and then they took the lead back and eventually won the game. And they're right now 3-0. How impressed are you that Buffalo has a better record than the New England Patriots?
Well, you know, they're a solid team. I wasn't too big on them coming into the year, but you know, they've got me woke. I give them that. They've got me woke. They still have a lot to prove. They're a good team. They're a solid team, but I don't know if they could be
I agree as well. I don't think they beat Kansas City. I feel like right now Kansas City is the team to beat in the AFC in general. And we look at the Buffalo Bills schedule. Their first two games were against the Jets and the Dolphins. Like, those are two easy winnable games. It's when they get to the teams like the Rams, when they play Tennessee, when they play the Chiefs, when they got to play New England twice, you know, that's when it's going to be what kind of team is Buffalo going to be? So as of right now, I wasn't surprised that they're 3-0. You know, they're just playing the schedule accordingly. And, you know, they're off to a good start. And Josh Allen looks pretty good. You know, I know it's only 3 weeks in the season, but as of this point, you know, Josh Allen definitely looks better this year than he did last year.
Yeah, for sure. He definitely does. He's definitely playing like a top quarterback. That's what I'm saying. He's got me woke. They have the receiver and Diggs and John Brown. Like they can run the ball. Their defense is solid, but can they beat Ravens? I don't know. I gotta see them play some more teams. Like when they play the Steelers, when they play Patriots, those are teams that we're gonna really be able to measure them at. You know, those are the teams that they're gonna see. Even the Rams gave them a tough run for their money, and the Rams are actually, they look really good. Like being that I reside here in Los Angeles, you feel me? We have those Rams game every Sunday, so there's no way you're not watching it if you're watching football. You have to watch it. So with that being said, the Rams look a lot better than they do without Todd Gurley right now. You know what I'm saying? And for them to even give the Bills a run for their money, come back how they did, like, the Rams are a legitimate team, but are they a team that is going to go to the Super Bowl this year? No, they're not. I don't expect that, but they are a legitimate team. They look really good. They look really, really good.
Yeah, the Rams are definitely a team that could very well bounce back. I saw at MD Lawson, USN, he joined in the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. And the links that we're sending out is those are our Spotify links for MCS Real Sports Podcast. So the links that are in the chat, make sure you guys check it out. And that's where you could watch our podcast episodes.
And it's a live episode going on right now. You're damn near a part of it.
Yep. You guys are a part of it. first ever live edition. And so far it's going good. I'm going to go real quick, rattle off three more teams that are actually four more teams that are 3-0. Finishing off the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0. Tennessee Titans are 3-0. If you had to say one team you are surprised that is 3-0, Caleb, what team would it be? Are you more surprised in the Pittsburgh Steelers being 3-0 or the Tennessee Titans being 3-0?
Both. I couldn't really choose. I didn't expect both teams to be 3-0, but the Steelers, those trades, for Minka Fitzpatrick, looks like it made a lot of sense. They look like they're a solid team. I can't put them to the side because I know what they have at quarterback with Big Ben. Like, dude's a winner. You give him a solid young receiver in Juju, who undoubtedly has been working. If you don't keep up with Juju Smith, you know, go ahead and follow his YouTube. He works, puts in mad work. So that's somebody I already knew coming into this year he was going to do his shit. So keep up with Juju. James Conner is still a solid running back. But with just talking about what they have at quarterback, they have a true leader that plays the game well. So, I mean, that's where they're striving. Tennessee. I'm not at a loss for words. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm very surprised Tennessee's 3-0. I'm going to be honest. When Caleb and I were predicting NFL records, I thought this was going to be same old Tennessee Titans going 9-7. But the way how they've been playing for 3 weeks, it's been impressive. And the comeback and the comfort behind win that they had against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they were down big at one point in time. They were down like 24-9, and then eventually they came back and won the game 31-30. And Steven Gostkowski has definitely bounced back. Like, we look at, he struggled a lot in I believe it was the opening game against Denver, where he missed three field goals and an extra point. Obviously made the game winning kick, but last 2 weeks, he's shown why he's one of the one of the great kickers. And like, I'm more surprised with Tennessee just because I didn't really think that they could actually do this. Like, the way how they're playing right now through the first 3 weeks. And I mean, looking at the schedule coming up, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Obviously, their week four matchup is against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then afterwards, they got the Bills, got to play the Texans twice, the Jags one more time, the Colts twice. You got to play the Ravens. You got to play the Packers. I mean, they got some tough teams. So it'll be interesting to see how well they will make or break against those good teams. So I'm still holding out a little bit for Tennessee, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there and see if they keep it up. Pittsburgh, I'm not surprised. I was very high on Pittsburgh to start off the season, and they're just off to a good start. This is, you know, the difference between the Steelers having Mason Rudolph and Ducky Hodges last year going 8-8 and inserting in a 2-time Super Bowl champ and Ben Roethlisberger. You know, that's a big difference. You know, Ben, he's a veteran leader on the team, like you said, Caleb. And, you know, overall, so far, Pittsburgh Steelers are off to a great start. Let's also move on to the NFC. In the NFC, there are three teams left that are undefeated. They are the Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, and the Chicago Bears. I'll start off first. I am very surprised that the Chicago Bears are 3-0.
Me too.
I mean, I expected them to beat the Lions. I expected them to beat the Giants, but I did not expect them to come from behind against the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons were up 26-10, and Nick Foles came in and saved the day. I mean, it's disappointing.
It's disappointing with Atlanta, man. It's just very disappointing. Just I don't get it. The last three games, they maybe should have won. They're a team that should be like 3-0.
I'd say 2-1. Kind of pushing it with the Seattle week one, but they should have beat.
I mean, they could put up the points with them though. That's like they have the offense to put up the points with them. Like they have the offense to put up the points with like the Chiefs. I think.
Yeah,
like,
but they got Dan Quinn. They got Dan Quinn as the head coach. So yeah. He's always going to hold them back. Anyways, I'm just surprised in Chicago because, I mean, they had Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles at QB. I thought this Bears team was going to be like 7-9, 8-8 because, I mean, the sample size I saw of Nick Foles last year was not a good sample size. I mean, week one, he got hurt with his collarbone. He came back in and he did not look the same. But the Nick Foles that I saw against the Atlanta Falcons, that was the Nick Foles of, like, the Philadelphia Eagles, where he just rallies his team. They seem to play better when – and, you know, that's a scary thing. Like, the Chicago Bears offense played better once Nick Foles got in. They were down 26-10, I believe, in the fourth quarter, and they wound up scoring 20 more points. They scored 20 unanswered. And wound up winning the game. And that was a huge statement win, especially for the Chicago Bears trying to keep up with my Green Bay Packers, you know, both being 3-0. You know, it's a huge step for the Bears, especially because I thought this was a year where the Bears were going to be on a downhill spiral. And, you know, so far they maintained a float. Obviously, the Bears and Matt Nagy, they named Nick Foles the starter in week four's matchup. So it'll be interesting to see how it will shape out. Should we know for the Bears, they go up against the Indianapolis Colts, you know, in Chicago, having Nick Foles start. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting game. I mean, when Nick Foles is called about to come in, he plays great. But when he's called in as a starter, you know, he could be a little shaky because he could either be good for you or he could be a liability. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of Nick Foles we're able to get. I kind of want to start off with that same question to you, Caleb. How surprised are you that the Bears are 3-0?
I'm not too surprised. The first two games, like you said, I could expect those first two games they win. Last game they came from behind. Quite frankly, I am surprised with Nick Foles. I didn't think he would come out and do all that. Him being a starter, how much better they're going to do, you know. But 3-0 is a good head start for Nick Foles. If they could keep it up, win, you know, six more games, they could keep themselves in playoff contention for the rest of the year. So I think they definitely can do a lot. You know what I'm saying? They have the potential to keep themselves afloat. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely have to make sure they stay afloat, of course. Let's move on to another undefeated team. As you can see, the Super Bowl 45 banner in the back. My Green Bay Packers are 3-0 to start off the season, and I am very, very excited with the way how our offense is looking. Obviously, first two games, I expected to be W's. I expected to beat Minnesota and Detroit. But that week three game against the New Orleans Saints, no Kenny Clark, no Devontae Adams, and put up a 37-piece on the Saints and got a win. That was a statement win for the Green Bay Packers. And I'll be honest, I didn't think Green Bay could win that game. I thought, you know, no Kenny Clark, no Devontae Adams. You know, Kamara's going to go beast mode and the Saints are going to bounce back. And boy, was I wrong. Green Bay looks solid. Aaron Rodgers. If it weren't for Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers would be in a lot of people's MVP discussion. But because Russell Wilson is just on a tear, you know, everyone's going to talk about him. But Rodgers is right there in the MVP race, and he is off to a stellar start. And this offense is totally different this year than it was last year. I mean, you look at last year, the Green Bay Packers offense, it was very stagnant, very slow. Only seemed to have a good first half and a bad second half, or a bad first half and a good second half. There really wasn't any consistency. And throughout these 3 weeks, we've dropped 35 plus points in three straight weeks, which is something that we haven't seen, you know, from our offense in, I'd say, like 6 years, since 2014, when we had the number one scoring offense. So it's definitely great to see. I'm very excited that the Green Bay Packers are 3-0. I mean, they have their next couple of games down the stretch will definitely be a deciding factor with how they shape up in competition in the NFC. Obviously, their Monday night game is against the Atlanta Falcons for week four. Then they got a bye week, and then they got to go to Tampa week six. That's going to be a very deciding factor game to see how we shape up with the rest of the NFC. Yeah, we beat the Saints, but the Saints didn't have Michael Thomas there, and the Saints really miss Michael Thomas, as you can see.
Yeah, we
so,
do.
I mean, a lot of people are going to cut the slack. Just like, yeah, you beat the Saints, but you didn't have Michael Thomas. Same situation with when we beat the Chiefs.
But that's no excuse for us, though. That's no excuse for us. Like, we didn't have Michael Thomas against Las Vegas, and we didn't look good against Las Vegas Raiders. So, no, that's no excuse from us. I'm a Saints fan. And I'm taking up for that. That's not an excuse because you guys didn't have Devontae. So what?
No
excuse for us. We have to do better. Mm. We look like something. And we gotta stop ignoring it. Because I mean, Alvin Kamara is the only guy keeping us afloat right now. Drew Brees. You can see him. He's taking a step back. We all admit that. I think we all see that. You know what I'm saying? But
I definitely see that. That's for sure.
But that's no excuse. Go ahead.
There is definitely something up. I do say, you said Alvin Kamara is keeping this team afloat. You are absolutely right. Did you see that 52-yard touchdown that he had, breaking six Green Bay Packer tackles? You don't even know how mad I was. Like we missed one. I can't even describe it. We missed one behind the line of scrimmage, one a couple yard ahead, and then it looked like he had a convoy for like 10, 15 yards. Another guy tried to throw himself on with, and then just muscled through tackles. And, you know, it was a great game by Kamara. It's just Aaron Rodgers is that dude. You know, he, like Stephen A. Smith would say, he's a bad man. He's playing like it, and I like what I see out of the Green Bay Packers as of this point during the season, being 3-0, having 122 points in three games. Like that's hella impressive. Like the only other team that's close to the only other team that's close to the Green Bay Packers in points is the Seattle Seahawks, and they have 111 points so far through 3 weeks. And let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
They are 3-0, and boy, does Russell Wilson look good. I'll start off with you, Caleb. How impressed are you with the Seattle Seahawks being 3-0 and Russell Wilson being a key part of that 3-0 start?
It just looks like the Seahawks front office made a very good decision in drafting DK Metcalf, although he did some little goofy shit throughout the weekend. And I guess he fucking fumbled the ball. I didn't even see the play. But he just looks like he's getting so much better. He looks like he's going to be a top five receiver. I mean, if you look at his body, the dude just looks like Iron Man. I mean, so that pick was definitely a great pick to make by them. Their defense allows a lot, but, you know, with them having the offense that they have, Wilson being the quarterback that he is, Chris Carson actually playing really well, didn't turn over the ball too much with the three games he did play before getting hurt. He looked good. So they look like a team that's definitely a solid team, bro. They look solid. DK Metcalf, it's like he makes it a lot even with the Niners. Like I thought the Niners could upset him, but now it's an even fair play for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the first 3 weeks of Seattle looks like the better team in the NFC West. And you know, nothing against San Francisco, when you lose Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas on that defense, those are two huge hits. And you know, with Jimmy G and his injuries, Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, I mean, Niners are just a banged-up team. Obviously, Bosa and Thomas are out for the whole season, so we won't be able to see them. So that defense is going to take a hit. So the way how Seattle is playing, this is what Seattle should have done a couple years ago. Like in 2018 against Dallas in the playoffs, they should have let Russell Wilson unload like he's doing right now in the first 3 weeks. Because I feel like if he does that, they win that playoff game against Dallas, and who knows how far they could have gone. Even last year when they played Green Bay, like at Lambeau Field, a lot of people thought, oh, you know, Seattle's got a good chance. You know, they just have to play it right. And the offensive coordinator did not play it right. They try to keep the same old run the ball, play good defense, and it just didn't work. And when we were up 28-10, when we were up 28-10 over the Seahawks, they were just like, oh, Wilson, come save the day for us. And it was too late. You know, it was too late. And credit to Russell Wilson, he almost came back. He almost came back in that game, but the third down sack by Preston Smith gave the ball to Rodgers, and rest is history. You know, win that game, go to the NFC Championship game. And I'm very impressed that the Seattle Seahawks finally woke up. And, like, you know what? We're no longer a Legion of Boom team with beast mode anymore. This is just Russell Wilson's team. Russell, we were wrong the last 2 years in the postseason. We should have let you win off, and we didn't. We accept that. Go crazy, and let's see what happens. And so far to this point, he looks like the MVP. I mean, I'm surprised he did not get a single MVP vote last year. But this year, there is no excuse for him not getting an MVP vote. He is at least getting an MVP vote, and that is a fact. Simple. And if he keeps this up, he's going to be a runaway for MVP. Probably even – nah, you know what? I wouldn't say a unanimous MVP because Rodgers is right there. But right now –
He looked so good. It's ridiculous. Like, it's like he threw for all touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
All touchdowns.
That's what's so scary about the NFC. Like, they are loaded with quarterbacks. You got Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I mean, those are all peak QBs that could very much face each other in the playoffs this season. Like, we could get a Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson part three postseason matchup. We could get a Rodgers versus Brady. We could get a Rodgers versus Brees one more time. You know, it's great. It's great the way how football is being played right now. You know, it's an exciting time, and you know, it's good to have it back. You know, through the first 3 weeks of the season. Let's just move on to probably one of the worst divisions in the NFL, the NFC East. I mean, every team is just pathetic. Did you know that the Washington football team is in first in the division with the 1-2 record?
Yeah.
Yeah. And them boys, you know how everyone's saying, like, oh, this is our year? Yeah. 1-2. Everybody thought new coach, they look good, but I mean, you could always look good, but it's all about how you finish, and they finish with L's. They could very well be 3-0. This is a team that could be 3-0, but when push comes to shove, they just can't deliver. I mean, you look even week one against the Rams. I mean, Mike McCarthy made a bonehead decision. They had 4th-and-3 in field goal range, down by 3, and he decides to be aggressive and go for it. And, you know, eventually later on in the game, they did have a chance, but, you know, Dak threw a Hail Mary play to Gallup, and, you know, Ramsey sold the offensive PI. If I were a ref, I would have just let it go. But, I mean, Ramsey's one of the highest pick corners in the NFL for a reason, because he could play good and he could sell it good, because that's the key in the NFL. Sometimes you get beat, you got to sell it. And he sold it pretty well, and, you know, that was the game changer, you know. If that play was not called, if they decided to let it slide, that would have been a Gallup big catch. Probably would have been in the field goal range. Probably would have been 20-20, and who knows what happens in overtime. Exactly. And then obviously the Cowboys, they got their win in week 2 against the Atlanta Falcons. And everyone says that the Atlanta Falcons choke. I mean, this Cowboys team could be 3-0 or 0-3. Like, that's the scariest thing. And the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, we'll talk about the Falcons later and how much of a choke artist they are as a team. But, you know, this Dallas Cowboys team, as of right now, this looks like the same old Cowboys. I mean, it's disappointing, because you look at when you add Mike McCarthy, a well-proven head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach, you draft CeeDee Lamb with the 17th pick, you think everything would be fine. But, I mean, it's just the same. It's the same old Cowboys. Like everyone's saying, oh, you know, Dak Prescott, he's such a great quarterback. He puts up all these stats. But do they result in wins? No.
But to Dak Prescott's defense, but to his defense right now, the way he's playing, the Cowboys are almost going to have no choice to pay him.
Yeah. The way he's playing, but with Jerry Jones around, he's a very stubborn man. You know, Jerry Jones, he's the guy who said, I don't get cramps like writing checks. So I think Jerry Jones is looking at Dak's stats. He's like, okay, now where's the wins? You put up great stats, but where are the wins? Yeah. And you also have to look at the defense. This defense is still trash. This Cowboys defense is terrible. And I think they regret not signing Byron Jones. I mean, the way how they extended Zeke early, I felt like they did Zeke too early. I felt like you should have told Zeke to be patient, and we got other things to worry about. And they are definitely missing Byron Jones in that secondary, because that secondary right now is just terrible. I mean, you look at the points that they've allowed. You know, through 3 weeks, they allowed 20 points against the Rams, which is okay. But the last 2 weeks, they've allowed 39 points to the Atlanta Falcons, 38 points to the Seahawks. You can't win games when your defense is allowed 30-plus points. I mean, it's very hard to win those games. Like, if the defense can hold the team to 20 points, you got a winnable chance. But if your defense consistently allows 30-plus points, it's going to be very, very hard to win. And, yeah, Dak Prescott is putting up good numbers. I give him that. But overall, it's just the team. The team just isn't clicking well. And it sucks for Dak, because, I mean, we look at Dak. He's in a contract year. He's like, look, guys, I'm putting up the stats to give us the best chance to win. And, you know, you're folding under the pressure. Now, I will say Dak did have some costly interceptions against the Seahawks. I think he had 2 picks, one of them early in the game and the other one to end the game. So he's definitely got to work on that. But if he can improve on that and not throw costly picks, and what's good about for the Dallas Cowboys is everybody in the NFC East is good. It's not like, you know, oh, we're 1-2, we're in the bottom division. No, you're right there. So it's like all we need is just to relax, have a couple weeks, get a good streak going, and we'll be right back in it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, that's definitely the intention. Like, I think with their defense, you set it off. It's not good right now. But I think what they were trying to do is they're trying to draft good backs, good defensive backs, and keep their offense. Because obviously, with the offense that they do have, you can tell that they could put up the points and they get themselves in position. So that's something that they don't have to worry about anymore. They have the receivers to do it, and they have the running back to pound them in the red zone. So, I mean, offensively, they should have no problems. Defensively, I see what they were trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But right now, I think this could be the year where it makes or breaks them. Like, you have a young cornerback. If they lose, it's only going to make it worse for them to get in the playoffs. Not necessarily super worse, because they probably get recover. But I'm an Eagles fan, too. Don't think the Eagles can't catch them. Don't think Carson Wentz isn't a makeup artist now, you know? Carson Wentz does this shit, bro. So, Cowboys need to tighten up, take it serious real fast. If they don't, it could be tough.
Yeah, and let's move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. And what a terrible start for this team. I mean, starting off in week one, you're up 17-0 to the Washington football team, and you allow 27 unanswered points. You lose that week. And then that next week, you have to go up against the LA Rams. And Carson Wentz was so bad that they had no fans in attendance, and yet you still heard boos in the crowd. That's how bad he was. And they just got obliterated by the Rams, 37-19. And then this Sunday, they tied with the Cincinnati Bengals. How do you tie to the Cincinnati Bengals? Like, I consider that a loss. And Carson Wentz, he has been terrible. He has been I think they had a stat where he was the worst so far starting quarterback in the NFL as of right now. And I mean, look at his stats. He went 29 for 47, 225 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. It's just Carson Wentz has regressed so much. I mean, this is not the same Carson Wentz that we saw in 2017 when he was on an MVP pace.
But this is not the same team, though. This is not the same team.
It's not the same team.
The offensive line is beat severely. Mm-hmm. They get beaten to pieces every game. You know what I'm saying? They get fucking demolished every game. Their receivers is just not up to, like, desirable wants. And, I mean, they don't have any money to go get one. You feel me? So it's like, yeah. Their offense is very doesn't look too good right now.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good. And when we had our episode, I was very high on the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I had them finishing a good record because I thought they were going to be healthy. And, you know, already through 3 weeks, you know, 0-2-1, it's not a good start. I'd say, you know, they are very lucky that they are in the NFC East, because if they are in any other division, they'd have no chance. If they were in the NFC West, no chance. NFC North, no chance. NFC South, no chance. But because they're in the NFC East, they got a fighter's chance in that division.
Yeah, they do.
Carson
Wentz. Carson Wentz, he's known for that type of stuff. So I don't doubt him. No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, last year, you know, they were very injury riddled. They got beat down by the Cowboys, and then he eventually bounced back and finished on a hot streak and wound up winning the division. So who knows what happens if he can bounce back, but he definitely needs to bounce back, because that contract that he got a couple years ago is not looking good, and he's not playing good. And remember, they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. So if Wentz continues to struggle this season, now, do I say he will be replaced with Jalen Hurts? No. As of this moment, no. But towards the end of the season, if they do really bad and miss the playoffs, they might question their quarterback situation. Just be like, you know, we did pay Wentz, but, I mean, he has regressed. And we got this guy in Jalen Hurts who was fantastic at Alabama. He led them to two national championship appearances. He won them a national championship. I mean, a lot of people say Tua took over in the second half, which he did, but Jalen Hurts set them up in that position. Same scenario with Carson Wentz setting up the Eagles for Super Bowl 52. I mean, Carson Wentz, you know, he had the Philadelphia Eagles positioned at, I believe it was 11-2 when he tore his ACL against the Rams. He had them in position. He set them up for the number one seed. So, yeah, Nick Foles got the job done and led them to the Super Bowl, but he set them up to success. And, you know, it's sad to see how Wentz looks right now. And, you know, hopefully he gets better. You know, hopefully he gets better.
He needs that year to redeem himself, like, to show that he could do it again. And he's still capable of that, but he needs the surroundings as well, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely will be. And then the Giants are the Giants, 0-3. Don't really need to be discussing that. They are as I thought they were, 0-3, just a bad team. Yeah. Let's move on to probably the toughest division in all the NFL, the NFC West. We already talked about the Seattle Seahawks. They are 3-0, but the Cardinals, Rams, and the 49ers are all 2-1. I mean, you look at, if you put the Niners, Rams, or Cardinals in any other division besides the NFC West, you could make a case that they have a chance to win a division. You know, that this division is lethal. And I kind of want to go at you, Caleb, with this question. We look at, and I'll go to a team, the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. What a start the Arizona Cardinals have been on. How impressed are you with the Arizona Cardinals at the moment?
Really good. Really good. Kyler Murray looks really good. The Cardinals look fucking amazing. They look good. Seahawks look good. Fucking Niners look good. Those are the three teams right there that's just, you know, putting it on them. It's just the whole division is really good. And Kyler Murray looks like an MVP guy. And they can put up some points. And Kenyon Drake is solid. So they look like a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with soon. Like, I think the Cardinals need a couple more years, but like, they're on the map right now. They might scare a couple people and make a run right now. They just have to continue to show improve before anybody actually wakes up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely will have to. I'm very impressed with the run that the Arizona Cardinals have been on. I mean, starting with their week one win against the 49ers, you know, they've been on a good feat. I mean, they had the tough loss to the Detroit Lions. You know, they lost on a last-second field goal, but eventually Detroit was going to win a game. Detroit wanted it more that week. And, you know, I also agree with you as well. NFC West, it's going to be a tough division. It's going to be fun to see who comes out of the NFC West, because right now Seattle is 3-0, but the rest of the teams are right behind them. Cardinals, Rams, Niners, both 2-1. We look at the Niners. When they get healthy, they could still be a bunch that competes. I mean, the Niners just made it to the Super Bowl last year, and yeah, they don't have Bosa or Solomon Thomas, but you still got Sherman, you still got D Ford, and you know, you got a lot of pieces on the offense. It's going to be great to see what happens there. And obviously, you know, in the NFC South, Bucks being 2-1, I don't think anybody's surprised about that. Panthers got their first win with Matt Rule. The Atlanta Falcons are the Atlanta Falcons. They're just a big choke job. You know, last 2 weeks, they became the first team, I believe, in NFL history to blow 15-plus point leads in back-to-back games. I mean, they are just not looking good. They have bad chemistry. I think Dan Quinn is going to get the axe after the season. What do you think, Caleb?
I think he should get it right now. I think he should be gone right now. The team should be a lot better than what they are, but they're not. And with that being said, I think it kind of boils down to him, because they do have the talent and they do look good. It's just, and are able to put it together. So, like, with the Falcons, I think it's time for them to get right to their coach, and not necessarily change the way they play, but they just need somebody who can make decisions, the right decisions at the right time, because that's all it is for them. It's like, It's not like they're getting blown out the water, but have a good team. Like, they have a good team putting up the points, but not able to hold it down. So they need somebody who has the locker room, who has the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll definitely need that. And then to recap the rest of the AFC, I mean, Patriots so far looking good at 2-1. Cam's been looking fantastic. I think Caleb and I are all just smiling, looking at Cam Newton doing good. I mean, the way how he was disrespected in Carolina, I mean, Caleb and I, we have talked about this a lot. I'm not going to go too much into detail because we'll be switching to the NBA soon, but Cam Newton's been looking great so far as of this point. The Dolphins finally got a win. Jets are terrible. Raiders are 2-1, I think, so far, surprising everybody at the moment. Chargers being 1-2, Denver being 0-3, obviously expected with all of their injuries. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I think the rivalry is going to be back and stronger than ever now because I think they both can compete in that division, as well as Cleveland being right behind them at 2-1. And the Bengals so far, Joe Burrow's looking real nice. I mean, they may be 0-2-1, but Joe Burrow's got something special in them. And then the rest of the AFC South, I mean, Colts and Titans, those are probably going to be the two main teams to compete for the AFC South. Jacksonville being 1-2. I think they've came back down to earth after their week one victory against the Colts. And the Texans are the Texans. They are really missing DeAndre Hopkins at the moment. And let's switch into the NBA playoffs. As you guys may know, our last episode that we left off on, the Eastern Conference Finals just started, and it was Game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers. Obviously, we know what happens. The Nuggets come back from down 3-1 and win that series. And then the Eastern Conference Finals was set between the Celtics and the Heat, and the Western Conference Finals was set between both of our favorite teams, the Los Angeles Lakers, facing off against the Denver Nuggets. And as the series progressed, the Los Angeles Lakers took care of business against the Denver Nuggets, winning the series in 5 games to make their first ever NBA Finals appearance since 2010. And last player that was on that great 2010 team was the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant. We know what happened in 2010. Kobe got his 5th ring and won back-to-back. And the LA Lakers, they are facing off against a team that nobody thought they could be in this situation. The Miami Heat. I mean, what a ride from the Miami Heat. They came into the playoffs as the 5th seed. They swept the Indiana Pacers. They swept everybody's Eastern Conference favorites, Milwaukee Bucks, in 5 games. And then they beat the Boston Celtics in 6 games. Let's talk about a little bit in the conference finals. I'll start off in the Western Conference Finals, Caleb. How impressed were you with the Los Angeles Lakers and just the way how they handled the Denver Nuggets?
It's just pure experience, bro. Pure experience, and it showed. You know, they got in the centers, the White, AD, all played big. They played amazing. You tell that they were, you know, just more energetic. They've been here before, so their experience, the Lakers' experience, really just is what put them over the top, I think. And like I said, I've been saying that for a long time. They have the best leader in the game, and that makes a difference with LeBron. So, I mean, just watching and seeing how experienced the Lakers are, how poised they are, how motivated and determined they are, it definitely shows. It shows. Like, there's no – out of the top two teams, like, these two teams look the most poised, look the most motivated, determined, look the most ready. These were the two teams that looked like they were capable and ready for this. So I'm super excited to even see the finals.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited as well. I'm very impressed with the way how the Lakers played. And I think what changed the momentum of the series was that Anthony Davis buzzer beater in Game 2. If Anthony Davis doesn't hit that buzzer beater in Game 2, yeah, it's tied at 1 and it could be a different series. And yeah, but once AD hit that buzzer beater in Game 2, I knew it was destiny that we were going to get it. And I think at the end of the shot, I think you heard Anthony Davis say, like, Kobe, like, Kobe, jumping up, and everybody went in. Like, when I saw AD make that shot, I'm like, oh yeah, we making the finals. We making it. Like,
I knew.
Like, don't matter how many games, don't matter how many games, but we're going to get there. And it took us five games, and I was very proud of LeBron James and how he closed out that game five, going off for nine straight points, hitting the dagger three to send the Lakers to the NBA Finals. And just the way a picture where he's just sitting on the court, got the hat on, and just like this, like just waiting to strike. And, you know, I was very proud of the Lakers. You know, I definitely hope they do it for Kobe. I mean, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in the world with the pandemic, with the shocking passing of Kobe Bryant, the Lakers can do well. You know, this could be a very huge stepping stone and could unite, you know, the city of Los Angeles once again. So, you know, yeah. It's going to be great to see. And, you know, so far the Lakers only three losses in the playoffs. You know, they've made it to only five games. And what's different between the two LA teams, what's different between our Lakers and the Clippers, Lakers put it away. Clippers choke. That's the main difference. And let's move on to the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. What a series that was. I mean, we look at Miami, they go up 2-0 in the series. Boston comes back and gets a game. Miami goes up 3-1. Boston ain't done yet. They force game six, and then Miami closes it out. And Miami, they are in the NBA Finals for the first time in 6 years. Last time they were in the NBA Finals, they had LeBron James on the team, and they are facing LeBron James now, 6 years later. So, Caleb, how impressed were you with the run that the Miami Heat have been on, you know, throughout the whole playoffs and the way how they played in this Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, well, you know, Miami Heat, like I said earlier, that they're the team that looks the most poised. They look the most, like, they look the most into it. They look the most ready. They look like they have been preparing for this moment. Watching them play, they look like an unselfish team that does not care about scoring. They don't care about, you know, the little stuff who gets the most attention. They just want to go out, play, and put up the points to win. Nobody's going worrying about getting 30. If it happens, it happens. But other than that, they just want to play hard and win. And that ultimately shows. Like, they look like last year's Raptors, but without Kawhi. They just look like a team that's hungry. And they look hungry. Like, they're definitely the best in the East by far. Like, they look like the best in the East. And I'm excited to see what they got for the rest.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they got too. And how about Jimmy Butler, man? Jimmy Butler out here living his best life. I mean, we look at they basically he gets traded from Chicago because they weren't winning anymore. He gets sent over to Minnesota. First year he's in Minnesota, they make the playoffs. And then Jimmy Butler goes to Minnesota and says, I don't like the way how Wiggins and Towns are playing. They're not playing like they want it. Yeah. And everybody hated on Jimmy Butler. They said he was bad for the locker room. He then gets shipped over to Philadelphia, and he makes an immediate impact for the 76ers right away. I mean, they are the third seed, and they have a chance to win a championship. And then Kawhi Leonard hits that shot. You know, the four got in a game seven. And a lot of people forget, before that shot, Jimmy Butler hit the game-tying shot with a couple seconds left.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people look at, yeah, Kawhi Leonard made that shot, but Jimmy Butler made the game tire. Yeah. And then he didn't want to be with Philadelphia because Brett Brown was there, and he gets his wish. It basically, a sign and trade goes to Miami. And Miami was just a perfect team for Jimmy Butler. I mean, you look at Pat Riley, always competitive. Eric Spoelstra, always competitive. Miami is a kind of a team where they're always filled, like what you said, Caleb, they're filled with dogs that just want to compete. And Miami's earned it. I mean, Miami has earned their appearance. It wasn't given to them. They had to face some really good teams. They had to face a very good Indiana Pacers team, and they swept them. They had to go up against the Milwaukee Bucks, and they just exposed Giannis, who what he is, a guy who just can't shoot and can't win the big playoff games. Yeah. And also exposed Mike Budenholzer as a fraud of a coach, which is a fact. And And then the way how they were able to beat the Boston Celtics in six games, I mean, it's a very impressive feat. I'm very proud of the Miami Heat. And let's talk about the NBA Finals matchup. Lakers and Heat, obviously, both Caleb and I are probably going to roll with the Los Angeles Lakers. But I'll be honest, I think it's going to go seven games. I think this is going to be a seven-game series close to the wire, with the Lakers just barely edging it out. What about you, Caleb? How many games do you think the NBA Finals is going to go?
I think it was going to – I thought about that this morning, and I was like, I think it's going to go 6-7. I think it's going to go 6-7 games. If it's six, it's purely us and our experience just pulling it out, honestly. That's what it'll be. Honestly, that's what I feel like it'll be. But I can see it going seven. Here's why I think Miami, like I said earlier, is a tough team. They're filled with dogs that just want to play. And the Lakers, they have dogs too. It's going to be a battle on the coaching end. They have great coaches with Eric Spoelstra, backups, as they always had. They're going to come out overly prepared. We're coming out prepared. So it's definitely going to be a game. It just every game is going to be a game to watch. It's going to go down to the wire. And it's just going to come out to the team who played smarter and who has the most experience. And that's why, ultimately, I think we'll end up winning. But I can see it going to seven games, no doubt. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm not counting Miami out. They look too good. They look too
good. I'm not counting them out either. And one last thing. To close out episode 20 of the MCS Real Sports podcast, what are your thoughts on Doc Rivers parting ways with the LA Clippers, Caleb? Are you surprised or?
I'm not surprised. No, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. I'm surprised because I don't think that you can expect them to be that good and expect so much out of a team that has only been together 1 year, hasn't been able to play too much, been rocked with COVID coming and everything that's going on in the world. So, I mean, I couldn't expect too much, but considering the fact that they had a lot of time, like they had a long, long time to figure it out. This NBA season was almost a year, I think, like 11 months or something like that. So, them being together that long, they had some time to figure it out and just soak themselves in the playbook, but that's not enough. I don't think they were ready chemistry-wise, but as far as the coaching situation, they have blew a lot of 3-1 leads under Doc, and maybe Doc just doesn't have the locker room anymore. Whatever. I don't know. The decision was made within above. We don't know why. Like I said, I'm paying attention to their next step because their next move will have to be their best move. It's going to be their most crucial for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. I think of it differently. I think it was necessary. I feel like after Doc Rivers blew that 3-1 lead, you had to fire him. I mean, you look at he's been a part of the organization with the Clippers for 7 years. He had a 3-1 lead as well in 2015, and he blew that. And now he has this one. And everybody thought it was going to be the Battle of L.A. in the conference finals. We know the Lakers held up their end of the bargain, but the Clippers didn't get it done. And also, you know, Pandemic P showed out, hit some bricks, hit the backboard shot. And overall, I mean, you just got to look at it and simply say, you know, Doc Rivers, what has he done, you know, since winning the championship with Boston? He's been an underachiever as a coach. I mean, you look at in his career, he's blown 3-1 leads. That's not good, you know, if you're Doc Rivers. And obviously Doc Rivers is going to get a coaching job somewhere. He's too experienced of a guy. He's a champion. I feel like he should get a job in Philadelphia. I feel like if he's with the 76ers, they could be back to relevance again. And you know, the thing with Doc is he's great in the playoffs. I mean, not great in the playoffs. He's great in the regular season, but kind of underperforms in the playoffs. So It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back and how the Clippers bounce back, because we look at the Clippers this next year, this could be it. I mean, Kawhi and Paul George, their contracts are up after this year. And I mean, we look at the West, ain't gonna get any weaker. I mean, the Dallas Mavericks are coming. The Lakers are gonna be the Lakers with LeBron and AD. Golden State's coming back with Steph, Clay, and Dre. That number two overall pick. Denver staying where they are. You got Utah, Memphis is coming, Portland as well. I mean, you got a lot of teams there. So if you're the Clippers, and you're right, Caleb, this next move that they make out their head coach has to be the best one, because if the Clippers fall short again next year, that trade for Paul George will be worse than the Brooklyn Nets going all in for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
I think they called it the Billy King trade, like where Danny Ainge just straight up fleeced Brooklyn for their future. If the Clippers don't win a title the next 2 years, it might look like that, because, I mean, what would make Paul George and Kawhi Leonard come back to the Clippers if for two consecutive years you can't get the job done? So it's
You have a point, bro.
It'll be interesting to see the offseason that the NBA has, you know, especially with the Clippers. You know, Mike D'Antoni's no longer the head coach of the Houston Rockets. Nate McMillan no longer for the Pacers. Alvin Gentry no longer for the Pelicans. A lot of veteran coaches that have been very good have a lot of chances to go on different teams. So it'll be interesting to see how the head coaching vacancies will be filled.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's go Lakers in the NBA Finals. You know, it's going to be a fantastic series against the Miami Heat. I expect Eric Spoelstra and Frank Vogel. I mean, this is really good flashbacks. You know, remember 2013, 2014, Pacers versus Heat. You got Frank the Tank versus Eric Spoelstra. You know, it's going to be an exciting matchup here in the NBA Finals. And let's hope the Lakers get banner 17. And let's hope they do it for Kobe, because if they do it for Kobe, man, it'll reunite the whole city of L.A. And, you know, you'll see a lot of emotion on the floor, you know, with the Lakers if they do get it done.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
In the words of Kobe Bryant, job not done.
Job not done.
Job not finished.
Not done.
And that, my friends, concludes episode 20 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Once again, thank you, viewers, for tuning in. In the chat box, you'll see the links that Caleb and I have put on. Those are our Spotify and Apple Podcast accounts. So make sure you guys check us out there, get some plays on there. And, you know, hopefully we keep doing this on here, because so far it worked out very well. And thank you, viewers, for tuning in. It was a fantastic episode.
Yes,
anything else you got to add, Caleb?
Yes, sir. We out of here. We'll see y'all for episode 21. You dig me?
Yep.